Now, we just have a couple of minutes left before the time we try to wrap up. And I want to use those few moments to give a little bit of practical advice with respect to, attitudes and values and approaching the year ahead and so on and so forth. So bear with me for a couple of moments. A couple of these things I mentioned last Sunday in passing too. But if you would... There's two things I want to cover. One is the basics for Christian living in 2016, but the other is the subject of family principles for Sundays. I don't have time to expand on all this, just kind of mention it. But I said last Sunday, with respect to the basics for Christian living in 2016, one is you've really got to learn to put the Lord first. And this means putting Him first every day, but especially on the Lord's Day, because that is the second thing. Make Sunday the Lord's Day. If you will honour the Lord with the Lord's Day, it's amazing how the rest of your life turns out. And it's not unlike other principles in the Christian faith. You know, for example, tithing and giving, we find as we yield that to the Lord, what we have left goes so much further, our finances are empowered and so on and so forth. It's the same with time. When you handle your time the Lord's way, it is amazing how much more joy you have, how much better your health is, and so on and so forth. You must do it the Lord's way. First principle with respect to time management is make Sunday the Lord's day. Treat it differently to the other days in the week. Now, it's not that one day is more holy than another. The New Testament makes it very clear. We don't keep it in a legalistic sense that the day in itself doesn't make you holy, but because the Lord Himself is our Sabbath. The Lord Himself is our Sabbath. And on Sunday, more than any time, we celebrate the finished work of the Lord Jesus. It was the day He rose from the dead, and from the very earliest of the churches in Judea began the practice. So these were Jewish Christians who from the first day began the practice of meeting on the Lord's Day, and it permeated the whole of the Christian world. And so from that day to this, we celebrate a finished work and we rest in the Lord Jesus. The principle of rest comes into it, and the principle is whatever you fill up all the rest of your week with, give it a miss on Sundays and instead rest in the Lord. You make time for yourself, time for other people, and time for the Lord on Sundays. And one of your high priorities for Sundays has to be the meeting together for public worship. Because whether you were aware of it or not, and many of you might not have been, the offering of public worship to God is a hugely important thing with respect to the spiritual state of the world. There's all kinds of advances for the kingdom of God that relate to whether God's people serve Him. The fact that we're willing to meet with our brethren, worship the Lord openly and publicly, this does a great deal in us. And it does a great deal with respect to being a bulwark in the times in which we live and the advancement of the city. Let me tell you, you remove that from society and darkness just comes in all the more. Very important thing that we honour the Lord's Day. Anyway, last year or the year before, I did 8 hours of teaching on the subject, just barely skimming the surface. So you can go back and get that if you are interested. With respect to your time management, yes, make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day, but then every day you have really got to open your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. Would you lead me? You can do whatever you wish with me. There has to be time in life just for listening and sitting and being with Him. Try and do that. Because what you find is when you take that place of quietness and humility before the Lord, your weakness is turned to strength. That's just the most astounding thing. Put your faith in God and make a surrender of yourself every day somehow. In a moment, we're going to pray and we're going to surrender ourselves afresh for the coming year. We're going to dedicate ourselves and the year to the Lord. But I wanted to mention briefly these family principles for Sundays. This is relative to our service. There are certain principles by which we operate the church, and I wanted to clarify what they were for everyone's understanding. Number one is this. We have for a lot of years now, in fact, I can tell you exactly how many years it is. It's 15 years since we began to keep children in the service rather than send them out to Sunday school, so-called. It's not that we shouldn't be educating our kids, we should. And it's not that there isn't a wonderful place for classes and lessons for all ages. The critical thing is not that. The critical thing is this, that when the church meets, the children must be part of the church. And when adults worship God, children should be part of it. And when their parents are listening to the Word of God, the children should see their parents listening to the Word of God. And when pastors or leaders have something to say to the adults, children should hear what is said. When there's a prophecy or a ministry time, children should see that. And the fact that their parents will worship God and offer their worship, the fact that parents will listen to the Word of God and honor it, the fact that the parents will honor the authority of Christ and receive the leadership of Christian leaders, this is a crucial, crucial thing that must go into the hearts of our children. But if you send the kids out every Sunday after a few songs and you give them a little prayer and send them out and they never see most of that, we are actually failing to give our children the single most important Christian education in life. That is, they see their parents in submission to the Word of God, and not only that, they're present when that anointing is at work teaching the church. And even little kids, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, you might think when an adult message is going on and a pastor is talking theologically and opening up difficult questions, you might think, well, this, you know, little kids, they can't understand that, they don't take it in. You're wrong. The difference is made by the Holy Spirit. It's astounding what goes into the hearts of our kids. And I can still remember when Ezekiel, who's now, 19, and when he was maybe only 7 or 8 or so at home, and in his bedroom one night, I asked him a question about the Lord, and he just told me right off. And I was astounded that he knew, just a little guy. And I said, how did you know that? He said, I heard it in church. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit puts into the heart of kids. The fact is, there's an anointing present. This is the meeting of the church. Why, if you want to raise your children godly for Christ, why would you send them out of every church service? I know why people do. It's because in this modern age, they become really lazy in the training and the discipline of children. And there are too many people who've imbibed the spirit of the world. And then when they come to church, their attitude is, I just want some peace and quiet. You know, in other words, they want the church to provide a glorified child minding service. Because very often they say, oh, I just want time to worship God for myself. Don't be a fool. The single most important thing you can do in life while you're trying to worship God and little Johnny is playing up is to say, quit it. You know, we're here to worship God and get back to worship. You know, be still. You know, this is hugely important training. This is practical Christianity at work. And let me tell you, it will totally transform the lives of your kids. Because the single greatest impact made on your kids is actually made by the attitudes and the values of their parents. They live with that, which means the attitude you take in your home to the church, the attitude you take in your home to the Word of God, and the attitude you take in church to the church and the worship and the Word of God, all this gets unspoken into the heart of your kids. I've been around churches a long time. I have seen it again and again that when you have parents that have shallow attitudes or foolish attitudes to the church, not totally so, but largely so, kids grow up with the same foolishness and the same shallow attitudes. When you have parents who are hit and miss in their attendance, not totally so, but largely so. The kids grow up hit and miss in attendance. When you have whatever attitude is in the heart of the parents, and it will be displayed simply in their behaviour, little comments at home, can't be bothered going today, a bit tired, think we'll sleep in. All of this goes straight into the heart of the kids. And this is why you cannot afford, if you're raising children, you cannot afford to live any way except by the most exemplary standards of service to Jesus Christ. Why? Because you want kids to grow up who know the Lord and live exemplary lives themselves. So children in the service is hugely important. Let me tell you, kids sitting in, even though our services are long, and I'll cover this point in a moment, there are a lot of churches who they'll put on a one-hour service, get people in the door, get them out the door, keep everything really short, 10-minute message, all of that, because they think, in this modern age, people can't take any more than that. They're trying to keep everybody happy. And then they provide the child minding as well. Well, we don't do any of those things. And the point is, you cannot raise great Christians, you cannot create great Christian community, you cannot out of that community have a word and anointing that changes the world based on just a few shallow minutes together on Sundays just to make the program kind of a little bit more palatable. There's got to be some substance. We meet once a week as a church as a whole. But in that one meeting, because there's only one meeting, you've got to be able to communicate. And part of it is not only to let people know what's happening and know about each other's lives, but there's got to be some substance in the Word of God. And if there's not substance in the Word of God, what kind of people do you become? You don't learn the deeper things. You're not stretched. You're not extended in your faith. There's no depth of counsel or wisdom. No, this is why, even though it takes a bit more effort, you devote yourself to the Word of God in fear before the Lord, and you get the spin-off. But like anything that involves discipline, it isn't always comfortable at the minute. And the Bible makes this very plain too. You get the discipline produces long-term fruit that is highly valuable, but in the initial stage of it, it takes application. It takes being able, willingness to pay the price and bear the little bit of discomfort of, sitting a bit longer in the heat and trying to be a bit more attentive a bit longer to what's being taught and so on and so forth. These are hugely important things. So we're always challenged by the fact, should we shorten this service up, and then new people might stay. But the thing is, you are trying to take a church into real maturity so that you might change the world. So bear with me. Both these things are very important. Now what you find with kids is, interestingly in this church, I've been in this church 28 years. And for the first 13 years, we had Sunday school like every other church and send all the kids out after the worship with a prayer and a blessing. Let me tell you, the kids in this church are far better behaved since we've had no Sunday school than they ever were before when we had one. And I'm talking about their behaviour in the meeting. They used to sit in the meeting a mere 20 minutes or 30 or whatever it was. And then we'd send them out. Do you know that we have less noise from kids, less running around, lower percentage of disturbance and babies crying now with kids sitting in for 2 hours and more than we ever did before? How can you explain that? It's the grace of God. That when you relax and say, okay, well, let God work, you start to see some pretty amazing outcomes. New families come in, of course, kids aren't quite used to it. It'll take a few weeks to adjust. But if you persevere, those kids do adjust, and they come to not in any way find it difficult to sit for 2 hours instead of 30 minutes. And along the way, and I don't mind if they sit on the floor and colour in and all of that, because they will hear stuff. Holy Spirit, I only got to hear one little word, one little sentence, Holy Spirit, whoosh, sheet it home to their heart. We start to get transformed lives. I thank God. Listen, be patient with yourself, be patient with God, and give Him a chance to work. This is hugely important. Now, one more really important thing that comes on the top of that. The families that get the best results from their kids overall. Now, I'm not saying that it's totally one or totally other. This is not in black or white. I'm saying in the main. In other words, what happens with most kids and most families. The families that get the best results overall, as far as their kids learning to be devoted to the Lord, serve the church properly, and not waver from it as they get older, tend to be the families that when the church is over, they hang around. They don't rush off out the door. It's not 5 minutes and bolt. They'll hang around. They'll talk to everybody. The kids will play so that there's a whole slab of community and interaction and relationship building that goes on when the service is actually over. Most of us are here for an hour and a half to 2 hours after the service ends. And it's not unusual that I'm heading out the door at 1:30, 2 o'clock, whatever. But of course, you're free to go. But I'm saying we notice the trends. And so where you have families that, the moment it's over, oh, they say hello to everybody, quick cup of tea, but then they go. Very often those kids grow up just very hit and miss in how well they serve the Lord, how much they value the prayer meetings, all those kinds of things. Please bear it in mind that when kids go through a critical age in their teenage years and, they might struggle with this or the other, they might even not really know the Lord. Let me tell you that when community is in their heart and when they've got deep and relationships through the church, they hang around no matter what. And I've seen kids who were spiritually in rebellion and far from God, but they're here every Sunday regardless, because the heart is connected to community. They've been loved and they do love, and with time the Lord brings them through that rebellion. So what I'm saying is always put the Lord first, put the Lord's day first, put love of the saints first, put the body of Christ first, put the kingdom of God first, but better to first is central. Now, this phrase, a Christ-centered life, in one way, I hate it. Because with modern, shallow thinking, some people translate Christ-centered to Christ being this little tiny thing in the middle and all the rest is theirs. No, don't mean that at all. I mean, Christ should fill the lot from the center out, all and everything. But just bear in mind, if you don't make Christ central and Lord of all and let him fill it all out, and if you don't put the right priorities where they are, the right values where they are, you run a huge risk of losing your kids to the world. This gives you your best position of trying to win children for Jesus, and it mostly works pretty good. Why? Kids grow up greatly impacted by the values of their parents. I've seen too many parents over the years, and too many might be just a tiny percentage, but even a few is too many, who, they'll be here most Sundays, but the Sundays when they're not here. Why is that? Oh, because, well, there's an athletics carnival on this Sunday morning, so, that's something special and comes up once in a while, so we go there. Or there's this event on or that event, and so what happens is in their minds, they think church comes first and they're here Sunday after Sunday, but if something special comes up, oh, well, we have to be there. That's in the parents' minds. But in the kids' minds, it doesn't work like that. The kids, without ever thinking about it, without ever being told anything, they grow up with a set of values that says, well, we go to church unless there's something else on. And so kids manage psychologically to completely invert that thing, and you'll find then they'll just live hit and miss for the Lord. They'll be Christians. It's a bit like that parable of the sower. Remember the parable of the sower? As far as I can work out from that parable, four kinds of soil. Two seem to have be the Lord's ground and two are not the Lord's ground. And the two that are the Lord's, remember the fourth one was the good soil. So the seed, produces fruit when it grows, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But the third kind of ground was this ground that was full of other things growing. Remember, all the weeds grew along with the plant. And Jesus' parable was, the plant never produced fruit because, and what he said was that people like that are those who struggle with the cares of this life, blah, blah, blah. So he He is describing there people who were born again, did know the Lord, but never produced fruit. And we end up with too many people in churches like that. They know the Lord and they love the Lord and they're glad their sins are forgiven, but their lives are not really fruitful because they never did get the real values sorted out. Anyway, they were some of the things I wanted to just get you thinking about. I remember, finish this little story. I remember we had in the church years ago family, and we loved them and they loved us, and often enough we'd had lunch with them, and they had a bunch of kids too, not a few. And this fellow was very hit and miss here. He'd only come less than half the Sundays we're here. He had all these kids, you know, they'd come, bring the kids, but this fellow was very devoted to the Lord. He would do anything for God, and he would do anything for God's people. He would work, he would serve, he would help people. He would go out on mission trips. He came with me on mission trips. But he just didn't like sitting in church. And he said to me one day, "Oh, but it's so boring." And I'm thinking, it's not the service that's wrong. There's something really wrong with your heart. Something really wrong with his understanding. To this day, I mean, they haven't been with us a long time, but to this day, he has family sorrows. And none of that. But every time I meet him, he tells me how wonderful it is that my kids have done so well. Listen, wake up and make sure you're putting the Lord really first. Because it's not what you say to your kids that will change them, it's what you choose. And that fellow chose the soft options and he reaped the whirlwind. So, dear friends, we're here raising families for Christ, kids for Christ. Honor the Lord with your life and with your time. And let us now think about the year ahead and dedicate ourselves to him and to his purpose for us in this year. If you haven't done this, some of you have done this already. If you haven't done this before, this is your opportunity right now, just to bring your heart afresh back to the Lord. Some of you might like to just prayerfully go to your knees in these few moments of prayer. Others might just like to bow your heads and humble your hearts before the Lord. But these are very important moments of prayer for us and of dedication. If there's anybody that would like to come forward and to kneel here, and feel free, just feel free to use this as a place of prayer today. Some of you may feel that whilst you've loved the Lord, you haven't really been surrendered as you ought. Or perhaps you wanted to be surrendered, but you felt that you've struggled so much in one way or another. But now's a good opportunity just afresh to thank the Lord for his forgiveness. Thank the Lord for his perseverance with you and with me. Thank the Lord that he forgives our sins. I love that scripture that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Here's that moment in which you can rejoice. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. This is the moment in which to take that rejoicing attitude, forget not all his benefits. And so humble your heart now with me. And right there, wherever you are, before the Lord, just begin to receive afresh his cleansing, to receive his commissioning for the year ahead, to assure the Lord you belong to him. By faith, see yourself as being in his hands afresh today. Place your family in his hands today. Put the Lord at the center of all things. Father, I pray concerning these, the saints, most of whom gather here every Sunday. I thank you for them. Thank you all the saints gathered today, even those from other places. Let the arms of God be about them all. But I ask, O Lord, that you would wash them and cleanse them at the beginning of this year. Grant that even now we leave behind all the things of the past that would attempt to cling to us and drag us down. No, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that every day his mercies are new, and we throw off that past in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for tender mercy today. Mercies new every morning. We praise God. And so I ask you, Lord, for a deep cleansing of the hearts that are here today. And where we've committed sin, forgive us. Father, I ask that where any family or any father or mother has overlooked the need to so walk with Christ, that their family was holy and transformed, I ask that you would forgive, and I ask that you'd renew the faith of that family today. Renew today your grace over that home. Renew your blessing, Lord, upon their heart and upon their marriages and upon their children. Lord, today would you renew the blessing of God on every one of these families. And I thank you for them, and I lift them up before you and ask that the presence of the Lord would fill their homes and that the word of your peace would come to every one of them. I bless them in Jesus' name. And now each of you, dedicate the year ahead to the Lord and yourself in it. There's a whole new year ahead. I want you, each one of you, to trust the Lord that he will make this year a blessing to you and make you a blessing to the kingdom of God. Just pray your own prayer. Take a moment. Hear the prayer of your servants, O God. 2016 is the Lord's. It's the year of the Lord. And we bless it. And I ask you, Lord, let the hand of God lift up every one of these, your servants, into the fullness of the blessing of Jesus Christ. May the kingdom of God be in them and expand through them. Bless these, your servants, O God. And may it be that in this year, no one in this church is so crowded out with the cares of this world and the love of this world that they do not bear fruit. But I'm asking you, Lord, now let these lives bear fruit unto God. Everyone, Holy Spirit, come and make this a fruit-bearing people. And Lord, all our visitors today, your blessing on them. Breathe on them. Fill them with good things. Watch over their days and make them also a fruit-bearing people. I bless them in Jesus' name. Everyone now, final prayer. Just make sure you have fully dedicated yourself to Jesus Christ. You need to be able to say, Lord, I am yours. Place yourself in his hands. And from this moment, begin to put your faith in God. And he will answer your prayers. I thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. And so now may the hand of the Lord be upon every home, every heart, and all the days to come. Lord, I pray, prosper your people. And let the grace of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest now upon this believing people, now and every day to come and forevermore. And this we proclaim in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise and sing together, shall we, and worship God. In closing today, if the band would come. We thank the Lord he's made us a people. And this is one of the messages of the New Testament, by the way, that we who are not a people have been made a people. We who are not a nation are a nation under God. I thank the Lord. He puts the lonely in families, the scripture says. Did you know the Bible said that? He puts the lonely in families. You know what those families are? Little churches all over the world. And we thank God we have such a family.